use it. Only gets used once a year. Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting of the South Jordan Planning Commission for Tuesday, March 26, 2024. This evening, we'd like to excuse Commissioners Hollis and Bevins. They are out of town today. But we do have a quorum as myself, Commissioner Guest, Commissioner Catmull, Commissioner Bishop, and Commissioner Wimmer are all present. So we do have a quorum. We also want to thank members of the Planning Commission, or sorry, Planning Department staff, legal, and the recorder's office for being here this evening on that. So the first item that we have is the welcome and the roll call, which I've done. The second is the motion to approve the agenda. In the past, we've made an amendment when there is a chair substitute. However, the last meeting in February, we did take action on that, so we don't do that. So are there any changes to the agenda that we need to do this evening?
No.
If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the agenda, a second by Commissioner Wimmer. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries, four in favor. Our next item is the approval of the minutes for the March 12, 2024 meeting. I'll be abstaining from this vote just because I was not present at that meeting. Just so I don't know if the minutes are accurate or not. I'm assuring they are. Ms. Baum does a very good job of those, but I haven't listened to the recording, so I will be abstaining and not making any motions or seconds. So I will defer to one of you guys to take action if there's no changes that need to be made.
Motion to approve the meeting minutes.
Okay. We have a motion by Commissioner Wimmer. A second by Commissioner Bishop. Any discussion to the motion? I got to get in the habit of doing this again. Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries three in favor with Commissioner Gedge abstaining. Our next item is staff business. So I'm going to look at Mr. Schindler, Mr. Simonson first on this side.
I don't think we have anything.
I don't have anything.
And the gallery on my right, there left. Nope. Okay. Comments from planning commissioner members. I don't know if anyone had an assignment to listen to city council last. Anyone?
No comment.
Okay. I was not assigned, but I did listen to a good part of it. A lot of it had to do with ADUs.
Okay. And I know we have something at the end of today's meeting that might be related to that. So yeah. Any other comments from anyone? This evening? Okay, we'll just keep going here. So it's going to take us to our one agenda item this evening. We have one administrative public hearing. That is a conditional use permit for the architectural standards of an accessory building in the R-1.8 zone located at 2269 West Bonanza Circle. David King is the applicant, and Mr. McDonald will be presenting that. Andrew, the time is yours.
Thank you, Commissioner. We're looking at a conditional use permit for the architectural standards and accessory buildings. We're just west of Bingham High School for location in the R1.8 zone, Bonanza Acres Phase 4, where the lots are larger. This is the proposed site plan in the southeast corner of the property. The image on the right is kind of a rendition of generally where the applicant would like to locate it, current access off existing driveway to cut across the yard. Open floor plan, unfinished, no ADUs included with the application. There's no second story, no windows. And these are the proposed building elevations, two man doors just for access on both sides with the stuff that the applicant has indicated he would store in it. Easier accessibility to get in and out of it, and the larger garage doors for his other vehicle collections. In relation to the questions brought up earlier today by Commissioner Catmull, the materials being posed are similar to what you see on the bottom. They're not renderings of the project, but kind of a similar idea of what the applicant is thinking. A color scheme hasn't been proposed or discussed. It would be kind of up to the applicant on that part. The image that you see on the top right is actually the existing home with the brick and the older plastic vinyl. So kind of a similar design scheme that isn't required to be compatible, but is similar as such with what's being proposed. And so with that being said, staff is recommending approval of the application.
Okay. Thank you. And as Andrew referenced, there was an email from Commissioner Catmull to staff, and staff replied to all of us, and we just want to make sure that's included in the public record. If we can just make sure that's included in the record. Open it up against the commission first. Any discussion? Mr. Catmull, do you want to comment on it, your email, or any answer your concerns, I believe?
Well, just I don't have anything to add beyond the email since we're entering it into the record. I was just asking specific questions around, just trying to make sure the material was okay, because that was also highlighted in our packet. So I have no further questions.
Okay. Mr. Bishop? Mr. Whitmer? Okay. Just for the record, our chamber, other than staff and commission, is empty, but we will invite anyone here in the chamber to approach the podium to give testimony. Seeing none, we will look to our online meeting. And if you do want to give testimony, we please ask that you enable your microphone and camera. And if you do give testimony, state your name and address for the public record, and you'll be allotted up to 3 minutes to give testimony on this item. Two of the names I recognize are not going to be probably the city staff, but if Kathy wants to give testimony, just either virtually raise your hand. If not, we will close the public hearing. Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and send it back to the commission for discussion and possible motion. I have no concerns, but from anyone?
Have the neighbors made any comments, requests, or voiced their opinion in any way?
There hasn't been any comment received.
I know this is the forum for it. Nobody's saying anything, but hey, maybe somebody cared at some point.
Yeah. Okay. I guess one question would be, and you showed the aerial map, but are there other accessory units, detached garages in this neighborhood? I didn't have a chance to drive through Bonanza Court, but are there some
more? Yes, there are. One recently of last May that you have similar size, but the sheet metal material rather than the materials being proposed today.
Great, thank you. All right, if there's no other comment, Commissioner Catmull.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion then. I'd like to move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit, file number PL CUP 2024-00026, based on the findings and conclusions listed in this report.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Catmull. Any discussion to that motion? I will second that motion, and Ms. Valdez, if we could get a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
And Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries 4 in favor. So thank you for that. That closes our administrative public hearings. We have no legislative public hearings tonight, but we do have some other business, which may be in the future a future legislative public hearing, and it is a discussion regarding the proposed amendment to the accessory dwelling floating zone, and Mr. Schindler will be presenting us this item.
Okay, thank you. Yes, you're correct that it will be a future item on your agenda, probably in April sometime. I'm not sure if it'll be the 9th or the 23rd yet, but it is it's a good time to discuss it so you can have, if you have questions or concerns or about what's being proposed by staff, it's good to get them answered earlier rather than, you know, giving you a packet at the a few days before the meeting, so you have some time to see what we're proposing to do. On the first page, the strike through on the first page at the top is that's being generated by new state law. State law does not allow us to include any requirements that there has to, in the definition of what an ADU is. They won't allow, do not allow that language, that it's separated by a wall, door, finished entryway. We can't use any of that. That's an architectural type thing, interior wise, and the state law does not allow that. So we have to strike it from our code. That's why that's being proposed. And that same definition is in two places. So at the bottom of that first page is the same thing. It's being deleted. The other item that we're proposing to change, that the staff has proposed, is for the is how we look at the exterior accessory dwelling units, the ADUs that are on the outside, or we have it in our code as guest houses. Currently, they are allowed in only the A5, A1, and R1.8 zones, with a minimum 1/3 acre lot in any of those zones. We've been getting a lot of phone calls and inquiries about why don't we allow them on other zones, like the R25 zones, and with a 1/3 acre lot. Why is it only limited to those three different zones? And we had some discussion internally, and we say that's true. Why is it that way? It's not like we're going. If we're proposing to eliminate take away that limitation and have it allowed in all the zones that the interior ADUs are allowed in. And so we're not necessarily making it going to have more ADUs. They can still only have one per property. Now the zones, if you have a 1/3 acre lot in an R25 zone or an R3 zone, if you have a 1/3 acre lot or larger, you can have an option to either have a guest house in your backyard or have the ADU in the basement, which you're already allowed to have. But the interior ADUs, there's a lot of regulation we can't regulate on by state code. But the exterior ones, it seemed to be almost fair game for cities and counties or whatever to still regulate those. So all the other regulations that we've had with the exterior ADUs, you know, the materials, what it's built, how it looks when it's built, those kind of things, and you know, if it's on a second story above a garage, accessory garage, it won't be able to have windows within 20 feet of the neighbors. So all of that stays the same. It's just where they can be located, and what zones is what's changing. And it won't change necessarily the number of ADUs, because in all the other zones they could have an internal one, and now they'd be able to choose whether they want to have internal or exterior. So, and they'll have to, if they've already filled their yard up with other structures, they may not have any room to build an ADU. And the setback won't change. I think it's a 10-foot setback for a guest house, rather than right now the setback for accessory garage, if it's under 16 feet, it only needs to be 3 feet for setback. But these will still always stay at a minimum of 10 feet is what's required for an ADU. I don't know if you have any questions or want to discuss about that or anything.
So help me understand, and I'm just trying to get myself back up to speed. So an IADU mm-hmm. no longer requires more stringent separation, right?
Well, it's not that it doesn't require it. I mean, if somebody wants to have an ADU in their home, there's nothing. We can't use that as it's basically in the past. We say, well, if you have it open, and then it's really not an ADU. And so that we say, and that's how we determine what an ADU was. We said, it has to be separate. The state says you can't do that. If they want they're allowed to have an ADU. It doesn't matter. You can't, can't say that they have to have it separated off. If they want to have an ADU in their basement and not have a separate entrance, they can do it.
So help me separate that out.
And
so
it will be and you have to. And they can call it an ADU or they can call it not an ADU.
That's what I was getting at. Like, what's the difference between a basement with a bathroom and a little kitchenette or a wet bar or something like that, and you know, not and.
And I think it's
so. Wouldn't that allow them to have two ADUs in essence, in the sense that they could have an, they wouldn't have it officially two IADUs, but they could have one that could be defined that way by code, but doesn't have to be because it's not at least
right.
Kind of somewhat optional, but they could also have one outside.
Like it's the state hasn't said that we still could limit the number of ADUs, and we can still enforce the fact that the upstairs too has to, or some part of the house has to be occupied by the owner. The owner has to live on site for to have an ADU too, whether it's internal, external, and so that, you know, so it's, it, they couldn't even if they, and they couldn't, and they can't have more than one ADU inside the.
And does it tie, I don't remember reading this in the code, does it, an ADU tie to the resident? You know, like if it is a would that be a requirement? Like there's the owner and then they have either like a blood relative or something like that, or whoever qualifying other person who could occupy an ADU. If that's the case, would they still have to call it an ADU because of the residents in the home? Or is it strictly going to be defined by the characteristics of the space, the contiguous space?
It's strictly with the characteristics of the space. If there's if the kitchen and a bathroom, they can still count that, but that's an ADU. Okay. And it's, even in its, no matter who's, you know, if they're renting it out or letting family live in it, it's still an ADU. It doesn't matter to the state or to the city any longer of who's living in it.
But you mentioned earlier that they could call it an ADU or they could just say it's not an ADU. Could you, one of you?
I don't have the new state code in front of me right now. And it's a little bit convoluted, but if you read through it, in the end, it prohibits what our current ordinance provides is that we're going to infer intent by these certain things. You've got a separate kitchen. You've got a separate area. If you've got those things, we're going to infer that it is your intent to have a separate internal accessory dwelling unit. What the new statute says, as Mr. Schindler has correctly said, you can't do that. So how do you determine? And here's the way you determine. You ask them, do you intend to have an IAD, no matter what the configuration is it your intent to have an IADU? And if the answer is no, the inquiry's over. If it's yes, then they have to comply with whatever things are left in the code, but that's basically it. Am I getting that right, Greg?
That's what I understand. So,
okay. So it could change.
That's what we've been doing lately too, and we see those in the basement. We say, what is your intent? And are you going to, is the intent for you to, you know, remodeling your basement and putting in the kitchen and the bathroom? Is it intent to have an internal accessory dwelling unit or not? And some of them have said yes because they know that, yeah, they can do it. So,
but it could change to, I mean, it seems like to me that it could change the number of dwelling units inside of South Jordan because there's more flexibility for the IADU, and someone could opt, you know, say that's not my intention, even, you know, but I went ahead and built an external ADU.
Well, there's nothing to stop the city if you find out, because if you have your neighbor suddenly builds the has a third acre lot and builds their accessory dwelling unit out, you know, the external one, and then all of a sudden you see other cars and more cars and they're not family members, and they've and had their basement finished. It doesn't take long for the city to be called up, and we have code enforcement to investigate, and then they lose their, you know, they'll be, they're going to have to get rid of one or the other, and they'll be, I don't know if it'll be fined or not, but it'll go to court, and the judge will determine what the action's going to be on that.
Well, right, and what I was saying is, like, let's say you're like the mother, a true mother-in-law inside, and it's rented out outside. If we're only going off the space and the intent of what the owner says, couldn't they just say, that's not my intent to make that, and that's just my basement, and there, and then that's over, and they could theoretically have two.
I guess they would have two, but we have to, we can't.
Are you asking if people are allowed to lie?
Yeah.
No, we know people can do that.
And I think that's the intent of the state legislature with this new state code.
Well, I'm asking, yeah, like, because there's another element, I believe, at least there used to be an element in the code about who could reside in addition to the primary homeowner, and how, as we think about short-term rentals and long-term rentals, you know, and whether there's a nexus between the ADU and IADU and those requirements. And I'm bringing that up just as part of discussion here to think about, like we're not trying to deny people flexibility or whatever, but we also, you know, we don't want to make it easy to unintentionally increase the density beyond what
I mean, we take that risk already with, you know, in the A5, A1, and R1.8 zones that allow the exterior ones as well as the interior. And we haven't run across any that are in violation with that. Okay. Closest thing we've got, we do have a code violation on a certain property in the city that's in the R25 zone that has an exterior accessory dwelling unit and rents out rooms inside the house too already. But that's already a code case. It wasn't, you know, they're not doing it new. They just did it. I don't know. So, but yeah, that's happened.
Really part of that comes up as they file for a building permit, right? Like to finish a basement or something. And if they don't even do that, then it still is like it has to be otherwise come up for code enforcement either by neighbor complaint or
correct. It's in
visual
like,
inspection.
We see we can tell when it's going to be an ADU or at least looks like one ADU with a building permit. And if they do things without a permit, that's we have to wait and see. You know, I'm sure that there's people that do things without permits, but if they start renting out and things, then most of the time, neighbors are really aware of what's going on in their neighborhood and get a call.
Do you happen to know if they don't do it with, or if they, someone doesn't pull permit and they make significant changes, does that generally cause problems with insurance if there were some sort of claim? I mean, will they say like, hey, you don't show a building permit on file and...
I'm not sure how that works if it's.
You know, I know you may or may not know. I'm just curious.
Yeah,
I can comment on that.
Oh, please.
For many years, I spoke at seminars as part of the construction law section on this very subject, and we talked to people about the importance of going down to the city and getting a permit. And there's a big temptation, of course, not to do that because your improvement in the basement may really increase the value of your home, which will increase the cost of your property taxes. And so a lot of people will do the work themselves and not ever go and get a permit. And there's a wide variety of problems with that. Many of them are fire related. I learned of a home here in South Jordan where the recently in the last week, because my son is out home shopping in our city, and the basement, they had the home inspected and the ins- This is just a private inspector as part of the sale process. And the inspector pointed out, he said, this homeowner has finished the home, the basement themselves. Well, how can you tell that? Well, the smoke alarms, contrary to code, are run only by battery. They're supposed to be hardwired into the home. And obviously, that kind of thing is going to have insurance implications. If you install a fireplace in the home, an insurance company is not going to insure that home if that fireplace has not been approved by the city and installed by a licensed and insured contractor that knows how to install a fireplace without burning the house down. The answer is, if this comes to the attention of an insurance company, then they're not going to insure it. Or you're going to run the risk of them not covering you in the event of a fire because it was never inspected and because they didn't know about the fireplace and they didn't know about the non-hardwired smoke detectors in the home. And of course, this goes to a variety of other things that could be included as well. So hopefully that at least starts addressing your question. It's a serious, in my mind, it's a serious, serious problem if they don't get a permit.
Okay, great. Thank you. That helped a lot.
Great. Mr. Warren? Mr. Bishop, any comments on this? Just one comment. Can we make sure we get an electronic copy to Commissioners Hollis and Bevins so when we do have this, that they can have the same type of lead time that we've received this evening as well?
The same.
Yeah.
I'll email it to him.
Great. So, just want to make sure. So, I mean, we've had some discussion. Obviously, we'll have more when we do hear this, but.
Yeah. Just a little question. On the first page, there's a change from Utah State Code to law. What's the ramifications of that change? What's that? Just curious.
I mean, if we don't change it, or
no, the code is struck out and it's changed to law. There near the bottom, understanding. I'm curious. Like, what was the?
That I do not know. Do you have an idea? It's Steve Schaefer-Meyer is the one that is writing this section of the code up, and he changed it from code to law.
I can't think of a legally significant reason to choose one over the other, but.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, are we making any, this, I guess, uniform change as we update these, maybe to that terminology?
Yeah, again, Steve Schaefer-Meyer, who drafted this, could probably give us some kind of an answer, but I think it's going to be more of a stylistic kind of thing than a substantive difference.
Okay, that was my understanding. Thank you.
Anything else? Great. Okay, so great. Yeah, we look forward to hearing this and I guess being compliant with our city code, with state law or code, whatever it may be, on that. So, any other staff? I'll ask my question I always ask. How does our meeting look on April 9th or April 23rd?
I think there's at least two or maybe three items already on there. Like I said, I don't know if this will be ready yet or if it's... I just know that City Council is not expected to see it until May because they only have one meeting, but it'll either be on the 9th or the 23rd, Steve told me. And then we also have the rezoning of your neighbor's property that I think will be on the 9th. That's on that. And then there may be another, I think there might be another rezone as well that's coming up.
Everyone in attendance April 9th, or didn't need to note anybody absent. I'll make sure Commissioner Bevins and Hollis are here because I might be one of the items I might have to step down to give testimony as a citizen. So we just want to make sure that we're covered as a commission. So on that. Okay, any other comments from the commission?
One thing with regards to ADUs, and this is coming from the council meeting recently, this doesn't apply to Daybreak. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but
you're correct.
It's PC zone, and this applies to these other zones, and it seems like the situation is kind of the opposite between Daybreak and the rest of South Jordan, where in Daybreak external ADUs are kind of allowed, almost if they fit, they're basically allowed by default, and then internal ADUs due to state law within the rest of South Jordan is allowed. And I think the council is looking to sort of make things more consistent, and so I think there's going to be other changes with regards to ADUs. But
would part of that be because of the master development agreement with the original Daybreak?
Right, the master development agreement with Daybreak, the original one, had right in it that they didn't call it external ADUs, but they call it ancillary units were permitted, and they at that time they're usually above an attached or detached garage. Usually detached was easier because it's bigger, usually bigger lots. But we've also worked with the interpreting with them that if somebody wanted just to build, if they had a big enough lot that they could build an ADU on it, separately from not above the garage but adjacent to it or something like that. But it's getting the access to for a parking space and so forth is what kind of makes it harder in Daybreak, because a lot of them are alley accessed units, the houses, and the yards are fairly small, and then to be able to park a car on the property, an extra parking space, whether it's in the garage. They had a three-car garage, and that works out, but otherwise they have to have a space that they can fit that's off the alley, which a lot of times they don't. So
you might be the council direction. They would have to be agreed to by the city as one party and Larry H. Miller Real Estate as the other party, correct? As a change to the master development agreement?
Correct. So it's...
Yeah, that's what they were talking about. But,
okay.
It takes two. It
takes two to tango. And of course, I'm going to bring up Daybreak 2.0 or whatever we're calling the annex, our soon-to-be annex property, but I'm assuming that's going to be part of the discussion of that soon-to-come master development agreement with whoever the property owner is.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's, it is annexed, but it's Rio Tinto. It doesn't seem to have any intent of developing anytime soon. So it might be years before we...
At least we're getting some property tax on undeveloped land, right?
That's true.
Okay. Anything else from anyone here? All right. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
Okay, so moved.
So moved.
Okay, we got a motion by Commissioner Catmull, a second by Commissioner Bishop. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned. Last time for this year.